Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
What a performance on a massive stage for the 28-year-old out of Torrance, California.
Tyler the Mason!
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered.
Please tell me that's on video. I've never been happier.
I'm made for a fucking podcast. That's dangerous! Listen to me, we're at it!
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. Matt, you froze up for a second, but you're back. We have a lot of ground to cover. We have Kyler Phillips joining us today. Really, really impressive win over Munoz. And we're going to start off today with Brett Okamoto, who's a good friend of the show. He comes on relatively often, and he always is really good at filling in the things that you and I don't know, which is a great deal. But what an amazing fight card. And I would love to, we can get Brett right in. We can start with Brett, but I would also love to get your take, Matt, on the main event, and on the fact, besides how good O'Malley looked, I didn't really necessarily like his call out. I don't think champions should be calling out people from other divisions before they fight the number one guy in their division. How do you feel about that, obviously, with Merab being your guy?
Well, I mean, I feel that, you know, Sean's not stupid. The champ is not stupid. Like, he feels a fight with Ilya would be, you know, he's a sharpshooter. He's a striker. Yeah, he is what fight. He is. I'm not going to deny it. Merab, you're going to be fending off a fucking rabid dog for five rounds. He closes that distance. That's the thing. You keep him at distance, it's one thing. He closes the distance. That is where his stature helps him. Now he's harder to get off. It's harder to get that space because he's just latched onto you. He's up to your waist. It's great. You know what I mean? And his long limbs, unless he's got like triangles he's throwing up, it works against him. You know, it's harder for him to make space with his longer limbs, with his shorter body. I know, being a shorter guy, grappling taller guys, you know?
Right. Yeah, I just, I don't think that, I guess I know why he did. It's also a big fight. I mean, Topuria is obviously the champion. And yeah, but it's like you've defended once, and then to immediately avoid the number one guy and jump to the next division, I just didn't like it.
I get it. I understand. I didn't like it either. Merab didn't like it. But what I did like, and I'm sure Brett's going to like this also, I liked his performance. I loved it. I thought he was amazing. I thought he did everything but put Cheeto away, I think Cheeto is one of those guys where he's just so damn durable. And what about that last, I want to talk about Sean just being so accurate and the different array of strikes, that knee from hell. It was like a masterclass of striking. It was great. Yeah. But I'll tell you, that dog Cheeto, man, what about that body shot in the last round?
That was the last second. Wasn't that as the fight was ending? He hit him with that and doubled him over, like literally as the fight was ending.
So it's like he's one of those guys where he's dangerous to the end. He could be losing that fight up until the last like second. He's dangerous. Because literally it was seconds where he landed that body shot. I think, you know, that hurt Sean. That's funny. But all credit to Sean O'Malley. That was a really amazing performance.
And how do you feel about that, Brett? Like about him calling out Topuria, and also he was amazing, which shows you how crazy O'Malley is, that he could have stayed away for that fifth round and avoided him, but he really was trying to put him away. which I was shocked that he did that. It was a dangerous thing. What did you think about that and his call out?
I think because, you know, Tim Welsh told him to stay away and not try to knock him out. But then I think he hurt him, right? He hurt him with like a kick or it was maybe a punch. I forget exactly what it was. Maybe it was a punch. Oh, and then Cheeto was blinking away. You know, you could tell his eye was really messed up. So I think when Sean saw that he was really hurt and he's like, oh, okay, this guy's like kind of not a threat to me anymore. That's when he started to look for the finish. Cause I think he probably would have stayed away. As far as a call out, I think Matt's right. Sean's smart, but I see as Sean Smart being in a different way. He knows that that fight is not next. Like there are call outs where you're like, give me that guy on this date. I want him. I have to have him. Like he's setting the stage for something down the road. I think he knows. And that's why he hedged his bet and mentioned Merab. At the end,
right.
Like, hey, if they want me to face Merab, I'll face Merab. Although he's usually smarter from the sense of like building his next pay-per-view. So he could have like maybe dismissed Merab or cut a soundbite on Merab. He really didn't do that. But I think he's just setting the stage for Ilya down the road. I think he knows that that fight's not next.
Okay. Yeah.
That's very smart. And I didn't even think of that like that, but you're right. He should have put, cause Merab is pretty, I mean, I believe it's not, said, is it said Merab's next? He should be next. He's the number one contender, I believe.
I mean, Dana never says who's next, and he said Merab is next. So
that's amazing. That's great. I mean, it's well deserved. And you know, he should have, knowing that that's going to be the next fight, it's inevitable. It's good that he's setting up a future fight with Ilya. That's smart. But he could have put it a little bit more like, you want me to knock? I think he said, you want me to knock out Merab?
I'll knock out Merab next if you want. Yeah.
All right. Listen. All right. You're right, Brett. He did. It's not as bad as I thought, you know, but I do feel Merab. Merab wants the fucking, he wants that smoke, man. He wants that shine.
He has to get it next. I mean, look, UFC is a business and they have to put on the giant fights, but there also has to be that thing with the business where you know that there is an order to it and that if a guy fights well enough and becomes a number one contender that he does get the shot. It can't just be super fights or whoever is going to bring in the biggest pay-per-view. The number one guy has to get that shot. Leon waited way too long and eventually got the shot and proved he deserved it. And I just want to see Merab get the shot. How about Poirier over Saint Denis? I mean, how fantastic was that to see what he, I love it when somebody is on such a roll and then they just run up against a veteran who puts a stop to it. Nothing makes me happier.
We had Dustin on the desk in Miami. So he came right up. So I got to see him after the fight and I told him, and I really meant it, that like, you can almost feel it coming because you've seen this happen in Dustin Poirier fights, you know, where the guy is, his opponent's really going after him. He thinks he's got some momentum. He's got him hurt a little bit. And then like, then he starts breathing out of his mouth a little bit. And there's like a scramble and it's like, they reset a little bit and his hands are down. And that's when Dustin just like thrives. I mean, we've seen that over and over again. We've seen like four or five examples of that. So I thought St. Denis' inexperience showed a little bit. I thought it was drilled in him so much. And maybe, you know, they were all talking about the staff and what impact that may have had on the fight. Like that was kind of a topic all week. It looked like he had staph infection. He came out and said he was on antibiotics after. So maybe he just felt he had to go because he didn't have the gas tank to go five rounds. But he was just like, he had it in his mind that he was going to go after Dustin no matter what. And I thought that like, dude, you keep going after Dustin and you're getting a little tired and your hands start dropping. Like that's what happens, you know? So, but yeah, I think everybody in the world was happy for Dustin to finish it the way he did.
You think about how many fights he had in the UFC. How many stoppages has he had, Benoit?
Oh, Benoit?
Oh,
yeah.
He had finished the last five, I think, in a row, hadn't he? He had finished
used to doing that. You start to feel like you're doing that to anybody. And I'll tell you, it's not for lack of trying. I mean, he really gave it his all. Dustin had to weather some really tough positions and had to really just weather some storms. And he did. That's the vet in him. But when is it okay to have a built-in excuse? I want to know. Hey, Mr. French Special Forces, with all due respect, I thought maybe when I lost it, maybe I had a couple of excuses. I bit my fucking tongue, with all due respect. You should, I mean, Brett, the second it's over, I don't even think the guy got back to the stage. Ah, that fucking antibiotics. Really, dude?
Yeah.
How about you let the guy celebrate this thing? You were supposed to beat this guy up. I think he was the favorite, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Dustin takes this thing. He's got the fucking name that you're going to build upon. He shuts you down. I was on antibiotics. But there's a time and a place.
Hey, what was the fight? What was the fight that Overeem won when he had food poisoning? I want to say it was Mark Hunt, where he was vomiting and shitting and no one knew he had food. Like, he was really sick and he didn't say it until after the fight. But guys have to fight with injuries and guys have to fight when they're not 100%. Yeah, so you're right. I don't think that was, I don't, it was Mark Hunt. Okay. Yeah, I don't necessarily want to hear that right after he loses.
But I get it. Like, I get that mindset of, even if that's the truth, like, you could tell yourself that you knew it. And that's what sucks about it. I know what it's like. I get it. And it's like, no, but I also know what it'll sound like if you want to be that guy. And that's not fair. It's not fair to your opponent.
Where did he say it? Did he just come out on his social media and say it?
That's everywhere that he's saying about the antibiotics.
Because I wonder,
I had one round to give you. I admit, you know, the antibiotics, I was there. My body wasn't. Hey, it looked like it was there when you were elbowing Dustin in the fucking head and you were dumping him on his back and you were nearly strangling him. He weathered that. No one else weathered it. Yeah. Dustin weathered it. Give him his due. That's all I'm saying.
I completely agree with you, but I will play devil's advocate. If he was asked, because like I said, they were talking about it beforehand because you could see it on his face. So it was probably the first question he was asked, like, hey, did you have staff or not? You know, because people were talking about it. So maybe he felt the need to address it since it was already out there. But I agree with you. He could have zipped it up and sat there and then maybe brought it up on his next fight, you know, like.
Producer, he shared a file. Me and Jake the Ginger, the Mighty Ginger are right here. I'm pretty sure he's sharing a file. I'm not guessing, but it should be the guy's, it should be his Instagram. If it's Benoit's Instagram, you're going to see what he said. Somebody want to read that, Jimmy, please?
It says, hello, France. Unfortunately, tonight I couldn't fully express myself. My body didn't keep up after a week of antibiotics to fight an infection. Throughout, I was present, but my body was absent. Did not react as usual. I only had one round to give you. Sorry to disappoint you. I'll come back stronger. Thanks to Dustin for accepting this fight. It was impossible for me not to seize the opportunity of such a fight. Thanks to everyone. Yeah, he does mention everything about except how Dustin weathered the first round. Yeah, you're right. He does give credit to the antibiotics for knocking him, but no credit to Poirier. Yeah,
I don't know, Brett.
I can't defend him now. I can't.
Thank you, Brett.
If he had backstage, then I'd be like, let's get off the guy's back. But I feel like
my cousin Vinny. And Your Honor, I'm done with this guy. I'm fucking around. No, I'm fucking around. But listen to me. I'll tell you right now. And Jimmy knows. I'm honest with this. I don't watch a lot of other organizations. I don't even know. I don't know when they're on the Bellator and this and that, and the other ones. I don't watch them. If they're on, sometimes but I don't watch them. There's so many UFC. So many UFCs every week. I've seen clips of this MVP, this Michael Venom Page, before, so I knew had some wild stuff. Wow, man, he was awesome. He was so awesome. There's a lot of guys that don't live up to the hype. I heard him saying after they didn't feel like he was himself in there, and I was entered. Usually people get annoyed with Kevin Holland because he doesn't shut up and he does funny stuff. And he did Kevin Holland to Kevin Holland. Kevin Holland was getting frustrated. I love Kevin, but I don't blame him. I mean, I was like, yo, because he was just all his style. The only other time we've seen anything like that, a little bit of Lyoto Machida, but more so Wonderboy.
Wonderboy, definitely, yeah.
Imagine, not to get ahead of myself, imagine that fight. They're both welterweights. Imagine that? I mean, anyway, my point is I couldn't be happier. This guy's in the UFC. I thought that fight was – it lived up to the hype to me. Michael Venom Page was wild.
Yeah.
Guys, what do you think? I haven't seen him really fight before. I thought that was great.
I'm glad you said that, man, because, Matt, you must not be – I don't know how close you're following social media during the fights and everything. People were disappointed with that fight, man. People were disappointed with that fight. And I was on the desk. I was on the post show. I had Chael and Anthony Smith on the post show. They both said that they were not that impressed with him. And I was like, you know,
really?
I was like, he hit Kevin with a lot of shots, man. I mean, you want to talk about a fight that like didn't live up to the hype? Like, there were a lot of highlights from that fight, and he knocked him. He cracked him a lot, dude. If Kevin goes down, like, we're having a completely different conversation about MVP. Like, people are over the moon about him. I just felt like Kevin's chin held up, and the fight slowed down a little bit after the first round. But I put that more on Kevin because I think he was getting a little frustrated.
Yeah. Oh,
I thought he was good, dude. I thought he kind of dominated in there.
And Kevin was getting rushed. Kevin was actually chasing him. It was weird to see Kevin Holland lose his composure a little bit as far as doing what he wants to do in a fight. And he was kind of lunging at him. And Paige's movement was so good. Fighting with your hands down is always amazing to me when a guy can pull that off. Like Bobby Green, like anybody who can hang their arms by their sides and still defend. Although I think you can only do that so many times until you're going to get knocked out. But him against Wonderboy, yeah, man, I would love to see that. I think more than any fight.
It's more so the little things I enjoyed in this fight. For instance, in between rounds, I'm not sure if you caught Kevin Jackson's talking to one of his – Kevin Holland.
Holland, yeah.
He's talking to one of his trainers. And he's like, a little bit quicker than we thought. Like you've seen him realize – I can't find this guy. I mean, when he said that to his corner, it was the most realist thing. He wasn't like panicking, but he realized, yo, this is different. Because it is different. Who else is fighting like that? Bobby Green with his hands down isn't the same as this. Yeah. Bobby Green is a good slipper and counterpuncher. This is that straight up karate in and out. That in and out style used correctly is vicious.
Yeah.
I mean, coming in with those elbows. And what about that spin? I mean, I don't know. I the only time you've seen, and I don't even like the cheesy walkouts. I like him. I like his style. I think it's fucking cool. Yeah. It seems organic. The only time, and you know, we've seen a little bit of panic is when he ended up on bottom. And
his face was panic, wasn't it?
Oh, shit. True. Yeah. He was having a party from the second he was walking out of that thing. During it, when he ended up on bottom, the record stopped for a second. He got to his feet, the music went back on. And I'm really excited for this. I was just naive before. I didn't really have much experience watching this guy. I am really happy. I love that. I thought the fight was great. I don't know what the other guys are talking about. Maybe they see more exciting fights that he had. I don't know.
That's
because he's known to be exciting.
What's your
I like his style? I'm a big Wonderboy fan. I like guys who have their own unique style. And how else do you listen? What a nice guy. How can you not like these English guys? See, I mean, he was a nice guy, you know, on the mic. Very respectful.
Yep.
I like him, man. I'm happy he's in the UFC.
And you know what? I'm going to throw something out there because I know that I get some stuff, you know, pro UFC. Oh, you're just a UFC guy. Like, no, dude, I watch everything. I've been to Bellator fights. I've worked on PFL broadcasts. Like, I like fighting, you know, and I like high level fighting. Bellator had Michael Page for like, what, 5 years? And you never got to see a fight of his, Matt. It just means that, like, they don't create storylines. They didn't. And that's why I think that they didn't make it and they got bought out by someone else. I mean, they had an asset like Michael Page for a long time. He was doing that over there. He fought for a championship over there. And you don't know anything about him. I just feel like they kind of wasted his talent a little bit. And I like the fact he's here. And I got a crazy idea, but I think he should fight Usman next. Because it's just like, why not? I mean, the guy's not a prospect. He's like 36, 37. Why waste any time with him? Like, he's here to win a championship or not win a championship. Put him against Usman, man. I think that would draw a lot of eyeballs. I think Kamaru, who does he have to fight at welterweight? He's already fought everybody. It's a fresh matchup. I think that's a great idea. I think that they should put him against Kamaru.
Yeah, and I don't know enough about the guys he's fought already, but has he fought with anybody who can do what Usman does and who's the threat on the ground that Usman is? Like, you know, again, a guy who stands, fighting a guy who stands is one thing. But if you have a guy like Usman trying to press you up against the cage and drag you down, I'm sure he's fought guys like that before, but I'd be interested to see how he did against them. My favorite fight of the night, the fight that made me the happiest, was Curtis Blaydes over Almeida. I was really happy to see that, to see him fight a guy who's as dangerous on the ground as Curtis. and to see what happened. You can't just lay on Curtis and ride out the clock. I really wanted to see Curtis win the fight, and that was a great, great win. It's amazing how much power he can just generate, like literally from 6 inches away. So congratulations to Curtis Blaydes. That was a great, great win for him.
I mean, Almeida strikes me as a well, and this is what I felt when I seen his last fight prior to Curtis Blaydes, where he got every position you could think of where the best positions for the fight. If this was a Abu Dhabi or IBJJF, he'd be miles away ahead on points. But it's not. There's a reason why you get these dominating positions in a fight to do damage. He's a sports jiu-jitsu guy in MMA, fighting like a sports jiu-jitsu guy, just looking to get a position, not knowing why you're getting that position. You're doing it to get do damage. And he's not being nasty in there. So, and I don't think he's getting used to getting hit the way he's reacting. That wasn't one hammer fist. Dude, you're going to wait? Are you just not used to – is this how are you sparring? You're on his leg. You're getting hit 2, 3, 4. I don't know how many times you want to – should we count those hammer fists?
Yeah, it was a lot of them.
The first one that knocked him out. I don't know. What was it? The fucking eighth? Dude, you got to know when to get the hell out of there. So this is something. If you're just intent on just on a leg and you're not getting hit, it's one thing. When there's strikes involved, it's a different thing. So he has very good jiu-jitsu. He's got to get it more gritty and MMA oriented, if you ask
me. I think he's got a couple problems, and I think that they were highlighted in this fight. He is a little bit small for the division, you know? And some of the smaller guys that we've seen have success at heavyweight is because, like, yeah, they're fast, but then they crack, they hit hard, and they can – I mean, Cain Velasquez did it to bigger guys. Stipe did it to bigger guys where you can, like, kind of lean down and – but this guy's fighting, like – I mean, he needs to drag you down and get you to the floor. And then the other problem that he has is he's a little one-dimensional. You know, if he can't get to what he wants to do, you saw that he had really no confidence in his hands. Like, to your point, Matt, he had – I think maybe he knew he should get out of there, but he didn't know what else to do. I think he's just kind of, he's got kind of tunnel vision, and he's got one way to win a fight right now. And so when you're undersized and you're trying to pull that off against some of these guys, like, I mean, he got Curtis Blaydes down, which was impressive in itself, but then if you can't finish him and you can't do that, then you got to keep doing that against these big guys. I just don't think he's going to have like consistent success at heavyweight.
Guys are seeing that if they weather the storm, even though positionally they could be in trouble, he's not hurting anybody. Guys are getting – so it's like, all right, I know I could just survive down there. I'll get you out of there sooner or later. It's not a good – he's got to switch some stuff up. He's going to have to start really getting, going back to the drawing board with some stuff. If he's staying in that division, for sure, you know.
And he said – Blaydes says he does not want Ciryl Gane. Like, apparently he tried to make a fight with Gane happen before, and Gane was kind of dismissive. And now that it's being possibly dangled, he's saying he doesn't want it. So he said he doesn't know. If it's not going to be Aspinall, he's not sure exactly who it's going to be, but he doesn't want Ciryl Gane. But I wonder if he changes his mind, if that's the only fight they offer him.
I'd like to see them run it back, especially because Aspinall, it was a wacky... What happened to his leg? Did he like do something to his leg during that fight? It was weird... He tore his knee doing like a punch or a tape. What was it? It was something weird.
It was
definitely more... It's almost like the fight didn't happen type of thing, you know?
Right.
So I would like to see that. Curtis is always that fight away from just being, you know what I mean?
Yep.
You know, and then he gets uppercutted by Derek Lewis. Not fucking right. Right. He's right there.
That was the one. That was the one. You lose twice to Francis, like that'll happen, but he was set up. And when he was going to beat Derek Lewis, like he probably would have got a title shot, I think. And that was the one he couldn't have lost.
And you then know, recently Pavlovich. I mean, you know, losing to Pavlovich. So, that might have set him back a little. He may have to fight Gane. They may say, if you want another shot at Aspinall, you have to fight Gane.
Let me tell you, man, I'm really impressed with that Jack Della Maddalena.
Yeah.
He's always in proper base with his stance. He's tough. He's durable. He's athletic. He's good in a scramble. I really thought that the jiu-jitsu would be the big factor. For Gilbert, I thought that he could utilize his jiu-jitsu, but man, he not only is his endurance, because after these scrambles, it's one of those things where you get over those scrambles and then he's back up right in your face again. That's a draining. That's draining. And he's man, is he heavy handed. Yeah. So, I mean, when he calls out after that performance versus Gilbert, and it was upsetting. I love Gilbert's one of those guys you kind of, even if you like the guy he's fighting, you kind of always rooting for. He's such a kind of like a nice guy, you know. Sad to see him upset, and he always gives it his all, and he's always so dangerous. But when he calls out, nobody's calling out Shavkat. I mean, he's calling out Shavkat, Jack.
Yeah.
I think that would be a wild fight. What'd you guys think about that fight with Jack and Gilbert?
I agree. And yeah, that is a fight that nobody else seems to want. Shavkat, when guys are calling out guys like that, yeah, that's a fight you have to see. And Gilbert, you know, everyone loves Gilbert Burns. So you hate to see him take a loss like that. But again, Madalena, the next fight I want for him is definitely Shavkat, if they can make that happen.
Yeah, that was a huge win, man. I mean, Matt, if you were told that like Gilbert Burns is going to be up 2-0 on Jack de la Maddalena, and he's going to be taking his back with like 2.5 minutes to go, like what chance would you give de la Maddalena to win that fight? Like 2%, you know? I mean, so the fact that he found a way to win that fight under those circumstances just, I think, tells a lot about him. And again, like you guys are talking about, who he calls out tells a lot about him. He's just confident in his skills. He wants to challenge himself. Those guys tend to do well, man, because you can just tell he believes in himself. There's no confidence issues with de la Maddalena, you know? So, yeah, I expect him to continue doing really well.
And a nice job, a really, really impressive, Piotr Jan over Song Yadong. He really needed that fight after 3 losses, and I'm happy he didn't lose. Sometimes when guys start, they just can't seem to get back a win. And I was really happy because Piotr Jan, I think, is such a devastating fighter and such a good fighter. So I'm happy to see him. I think he lost the first, right? Then he came back and won the second too. But Matt, I know you talked about Yadong, and I thought he was actually going to win that fight after that first round. I was happy for Piotr Jan.
I thought that Piotr Jan was just phenomenal, and I liked the way he mixed it up. He beat him and he outfought him, and he did it intelligently. But I'll tell you, but still gutsy. He's still in the fire. He's in firing range. He's firing back. He's landing his own shots. He's taking some shots. But then when he started mixing in the shots, the takedowns, that was really impressive because it was clean. It was well-timed. It wasn't a striker trying to grapple. It was a clean, this guy knows how to fucking grapple. Yeah. It was clean. It was boom, put him down. And then he did it with his endurance. He started laying it on him. And you saw in that second round how he took that second round from him. It started off with, I believe, Song taking him down in the beginning. And then he didn't, I think he got back up or he didn't accept it. But I just remember him turning it fairly quickly. And then you saw, you know, the tide change, you know what I mean? And that was just, it was really exciting. Because you knew it came down to that third round. And he was building steam. And you saw Song starting to fade some. And you're like, could he pull it out? It was wild. It was really, I thought it was a great fight, man.
Yeah.
Great fight. And I was really, I was happy for Piotr Jan. Because you don't want to see that guy leave the UFC. I mean, he's too good. He's really good. I mean, he's really good.
That's the only thing I was going to add, Matt, because our thoughts on the fight were exactly the same. And the division is just better with Piotr Jan, like, being relevant in it, you know? And I mean, I think the world of O'Malley, but I had scored that fight against him. I thought that Jan won that fight, you know? So he's got a little bit of bad luck. And, you know, then he fought Merab, and I just don't think he was ready for like the chaos that Merab brought. I think that Merab is kind of catching a lot of people off guard with that lately, you know? That's not a bad loss for him, you know? So it's like, it's just good. Like, if he had lost this fight, then you're really thinking like, well, damn, dude, like where's he go? You know? And so the division is just better when Jan is a part of it, you know?
Isn't it funny though, really quick with Merab? I don't want to give these guys their shine, but Merab has got that X factor. You know, I always say, and it's been said, like, endurance is just, it's another weapon. It's in the arsenal. It really is. If you have very good endurance, you can use that to your advantage. And Merab is like, people, the way he fights, it's if you look at him fight, you don't realize it until you're in there, until you feel it, what you're dealing with. because it looks like, well, he's striking, I could do this, or maybe you could outgrapple him here, or he's losing this position. It's just, he just does not stop. And like Henry Cejudo on paper probably thought that looked good for himself, like looked good, just like Jose Aldo on paper, which doesn't get taken down. Right. But he's got that X factor, something different that you don't realize till it's too late. And I think Sean O'Malley is smart enough to realize and kind of, you know, hopefully try to set up some other fights. But I think he knows what's coming. And now, listen, I think he's confident as well. But I think, his better chances are always with a guy that's willing to strike with him, you know?
Do you think that anybody can get in the shape of Merab? They just don't have the mental capacity to it? Or does that guy have like a third lung or something? Is it like a physical thing or like what is it?
I know when the guys visited him back in Georgia, there was like a stream by his house that he's like swimming upstream. Like ever since I met him like a decade ago, he's always been training. He never parties, you know, he doesn't smoke. I never seen him drinking. He just likes to train. But I don't know what's in him, man, because I mean, literally I felt it and it's just amazing. It just feels the beginning of the match. At the end of the match, he just feels the same. And it's like, oh, my God. Oh, it's worse than a Versa climber rolling with Merab. You know what I mean? It's exhausting. It's unique. It's pretty unique to himself, you know?
You got to be born with that too, right? Like, they're obviously training and all that stuff. But aren't there guys from, like, a certain part of, like, Nigeria or wherever it is that they typically win marathon or Kenya? And it's got something to do with the oxygen in the blood or something. Like, so there's some guys that just have that. And I think that you're born with that. And then if you're an athlete, then everybody notices that you have that. But I don't think you can train, because these guys all train hard. Everyone in the UFC trains hard. I don't think you can train to just not get tired. I mean, the fucking guy just doesn't get he's a nightmare. Merab is a nightmare. And I'm telling you, nobody wants to fight him. O'Malley is not scared of him, but he doesn't want to fight him. O'Malley would much rather fight anyone but Merab.
Yeah. God, it's amazing. Hey, Brett, are you a science fiction fan? Did you see the new Dune movie?
I didn't really like the first Dune movie, to be honest with you. So
I'm not talking about the one with Sting in it. The new one you didn't like?
The new one, No. I mean, like, because the Dune movie that just came out was the second installment of the movie.
So you didn't like if you didn't like part one,
yeah,
you're probably not gonna like part two.
That's what I mean. I mean, if I'm on a long flight or something, you know, and it shows up on the library, maybe I'll check it out.
But, it was so good. I feel like Jimmy's happy you didn't like it.
You have no idea how happy that made me to have someone say that they've seen it and they didn't like it.
You're such an evil little shit. I'm sorry, Brett. Because I see him almost try to fight his smile, because he sees me want to talk about Paul Atreides and he doesn't want to talk about Dune. Look at the critics. It's such a good movie. Not you, Brad. I'm talking to Jimmy. Jimmy, yeah. Give it a chance. Anyway, back to the
movie. Okay. You haven't seen it, Jimmy?
What's that?
You haven't seen it, or you saw it and you didn't like it? Like
me. I didn't see it, but I typically don't like those kind of movies. But I would watch it if I had a few hours to kill, but it's like, I have so many films on my list that I want to see. I probably won't get around to it. It's not my style, I don't think.
Yeah, well, listen, it's my style. Macy Barber. Now, Caitlin, she took her husband's last name. Sermonera.
Yes.
Sermonera. Yes. I like it. Sermonera reminds me of Marinara. But I know her husband too. Nice guy. Caitlin versus Macy Barber. That, you know, I like Caitlin was trying to get the fight to the floor. Macy's athletic, man. Macy looks powerful, doesn't she? Yeah. Like she's like for a girl, she's got like heavy hands. She's powerful, athletic. I mean, she just outfought her. I mean, she's just like a step ahead. You know,
yeah.
I feel like Caitlin wanted to get her on top of her. She's been, you know, Caitlin's ground game is better than you. She showed it before, you know, with Shevchenko, not.
Yeah, her sister.
Antonina, of course.
Matt, we have our guest in the waiting room.
Oh, shoot.
Hey, are you able to hang for a few minutes, Brett, or do you have pressing things to do?
I can do like another 10 minutes and then I'm talking.
Okay. I say if you want to stay, we have Kyla Phillips coming in. If you have to jump, that's fine. But I mean, if you want to stay,
I can do another 10 minutes. 10 minutes sounds good.
Okay, sure.
10 minutes with Kyla. Yeah, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey. Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hello, can you hear us?
What's up, my man?
Hey, Norton. How you doing, Kyler?
Kyler.
Yo, what up, man?
Hey, man. What's up, Kyler? Dude, huge win for you, man. Biggest name. I mean, that's huge, Pedro Munhoz. How did it feel fighting him? I'm sure you watched him fight before coming up, no? I mean, I'm not aging him out. I'm not throwing his age out there, but I mean, he's been around a while, Pedro.
Yeah. He felt durable, man. You know, I knew he had those leg kicks, that guillotine's got one of the best arm and guillotines in the game. So even right off the bat, I like missed a kick and he went to grab me. And then as soon as we were on the floor, I knew he was going to wait for me to sit up for the single leg. So I kind of went for a leg lock and then I just tried to use that to kick him away. But yeah, he felt super durable. He could take a lot and he was chucking leather. He was throwing hard and he was in good shape. He always comes in shape. So we just had to be, you know, a couple steps ahead.
Was he one of those guys that you watched as you were coming up? And a lot of guys I love, when younger guys fight guys who've been around, it's always somebody that they've watched and that they've kind of admired, then they finally get in there with him. Was that one of those guys for you?
Yeah, you know what's so funny is I actually never brought this up, but I think it was during the whole COVID time, he was fighting a lot. And then I had a dream or something one morning years ago that I was going to fight him. And like, I got up, it was like during the summer. So I just got up and started running and I just put in my head, like, what if I was going to fight like a Pedro Munhoz? Like, you gotta be serious. I got, you know, and I just went running for some reason. I just had a thought of that. I'm just kind of passing my head, but it was cool to, you know, be able to share the octagon with such a highly skilled guy.
Hey, I know you like doing backflips after your victories. Tell me, The Matrix, is that, or Matrix, where'd you get that nickname from?
Oh, my dad gave it to me. You know, he started me at the Gracie Academy when I was a little kid and I was doing arm bars and, you know, in the arm bars since I was baby, you know, and it was the Matrix name. My nickname was The Storm when I was like a kid because I would kind of go crazy, ADD, like, and I would just like get on my dad and like, you know, just kind of go crazy in moments when I would get, you know, flustered. And as I got a little older, you know, he never forced it on me. And I was like 12 years old and I wrote down UFC world champion on a piece of paper and jiu-jitsu world champion. And I'm still, you know, chasing the same exact thing. And he changed my nickname because it went from The Storm. He changed it to The Matrix because I was constantly having to be against bigger people at places and being challenged. And I had to like come up with and use jiu-jitsu and use leverage and try to find outside of the way, out of the box thinking for things. And I just had to he just watched me and it's kind of like a dimensional thing. Like he's a step ahead, like a dimension ahead, kind of understands from a broader perspective. You can kind of see there's more of a deeper understanding. And you guys saw that a little bit in that fight where I love the.
And having ADD. Oh, sorry, Matt, when you said you had ADD as a kid, was that one of the reasons your dad put you in to martial art? Like, hey, this is something physical he can do that will tire him out and focus him?
No, he just loved it a lot. And he liked to be around and I loved to watch the UFCs with him and stuff. And we went to like some Pride events, went to Pride 33. I was just always watching the fights and studying all these guys and stuff. And yeah, that's, but the whole ADHD thing, I mean, it's kind of like you have more tabs open. And I feel like if you can have a lot of them open at like a certain time, you don't have just one tab open, you have a bunch. So it kind of is like scatterbrain, but it can be working in your favor in mixed martial arts because you can kind of take similarities from different concepts and ideas and then put them together and look through a scope where it kind of flows. Okay, this makes sense. Like you can take the angles from guard passing and then, or getting to an angle in wrestling and then go to boxing. And then learning, oh, I could do that same, I can hit those same angles. And so you can kind of just put concepts together and ideas and just kind of think. I mean, obviously, I feel like anybody can kind of do that, but it helps, like it's a hyper-focus.
I get you, man. I listen, back when I was young, they didn't test us for anything. But trust me, Kyla, I got shit. I'm yeah. fucking all, there's a ton of letters. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Ton of letters up in his head. I'm fucking
A H.
So yeah. A lot of ton of, I don't know what I got, but I'm, if they
die, I've got like 10 tabs open on 10 different computers, man.
Ton of tabs. My point is this, I feel it helped me when I was fighting a lot of times where in jujitsu, especially, it keeps me like in the moment. Like I'm constantly in the moment. I'm not too far thinking ahead. I'm in like almost a state of flow when I'm fighting or especially in jujitsu. I feel maybe not. Yeah. I don't know. So yeah. Maybe you said you took to jujitsu as well.
But and now, one,
oh, go ahead.
So, and I honestly like, man, I love the way, even the way you move, you kind of like brought a new style of striking. It was like off your grappling movements with the strike. And it was hard to time those shots. And I feel like that was kind of, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you know why cool. We both got jujitsu backgrounds and you coming from the Torrance Academy, it's a lot of that closing the distance. And in the beginning, I would hurt guys by accident just using my strikes to set up my takedowns. It was 100% just to set up the takedowns. And then I was blessed with heavy hands. So, you know, yeah. I set it to it more. And, yeah. You know, but in a sport evolved where you couldn't just get guys down. But a lot of guys don't do that anymore. They strike, they don't blend it together as much, you know, which it yeah. really, you know.
Yeah. And I see it from Marab too. He kind of has that up and down grappling, striking. It's a different playing field. So it's so hard to like read that. But if you go into a basic boxing, this or a Muay Thai tempo, you can, you know, get reads off of that encounter. So it's definitely an evolved way of fighting for sure.
And that, by the way, just so you know, that many tabs open at once is the best description of it that I've heard. That's a really accurate, great way to describe what it is when you have that with your mind going all over the place. Is there's a bunch of different tabs open at once. That's the best, the most, the easiest to visualize way I've heard described. Yeah. And Brett, we don't want you to feel like you can't. Do you have? I know you have something you might want to ask or comment on. Please feel free.
Yeah. Well, when you were talking about your dad, is that your dad in your corner?
Oh no. You know, that's Hachi Miko. Okay. The guy looks like Jackie Chan.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
The Kyokai, this martial art. So the Kyokai is knee is multiple, he is universal energy, do is the way or path, and Kai is participant. Yeah. So the bonsai tree is the representation that we all have a different. We cut our bonsai tree different, so mm-hmm. it's kind of like how we train. Every person has a different body type and mentality. So he'll kind of help you grow your own style, you know, and not have to be that carbon cut. I'm the 14th black belt in the Kyokai. So right now I'm a sensei. I just got my second degree. And we've practiced all types of things, from weapons to even the mentality of Aikido. I'm not, you know, super, but the mentality and the concept of it, okay, you understand things, a lot of judo and shorinryu style of karate, so.
Yeah. Any weapons you're good with?
Huh?
Any weapons that you're good with?
Yeah, I can use the tri-staff. You know, you guys see me do flips and stuff. I haven't done a lot of the flips in the octagon just because, I haven't really. Got to get a knockout.
Now, Kyler, I can understand stick fighting because you can get a stick and it can, I used to mess around with that Dog Brother stuff on videos back in the day and grapple with sticks. It was weird.
But, oh, yeah, was that the Cali stick fighting?
Man, that was badass. Those dog brothers out of Cali, California somewhere, man.
Yeah.
With a Machado brother, too. So I used to end up grappling with sticks early in the day. It was weird, but it was kind of cool, but really dangerous. But I kind of thought it was cool, like kind of like street fighting. But that big tri-staff thing, what's going on with that thing? Is that just more for like ceremonial stuff? You do that, and then we cut a bison tree.
I mean, I just like to mess around with different things. I got a bow, compound bow. I play music. I've been playing piano my whole life, basically. So I see a lot of similarities in tempo and music. And you see, like, you know, like even in boxing, here's like a jump rope. It's kind of like the metronome. It's where you get your time or your speed bag. You got your left hand, your right hand. It's like the bass is like your footwork and your treble is like your upper, you know? And so you can kind of like almost write music, and that's you just being you. There's times where you got to be more form. You got to focus on, you know, your posture, your form, your katas, your you know, technique. And then there's times where you kind of just turn the timer off and just flow. You know, you turn the timer off and you just shadow box. And that's when you kind of can really get connected within yourself. And that's how you find that uniqueness. For sure.
What do you like playing on the piano? Do you play classical or do you play, you compose your own stuff, or what do you like to play?
A lot of types of stuff. I just have a lot of like songs that I've played over the years. So I kind of just practice that, or I'll kind of make some other stuff. And then I transitioned a little bit into DJing and got a DJ set, kind of pulled a little back from that, but it would be cool to get a little bit more into that.
Wait, Kyler, don't go nowhere. Brett, let's let you go because I want to talk to Kyler a little bit more. I know you got a heart out. Brett,
yeah, they said you have a heart out in 4 minutes, so thank you for sticking around at all.
Yeah, for sure. Congratulations, Kyler. I want to tell you that we were watching the fights from the green room because I was doing the desk, and I was doing it with Chael Sonnen and Anthony Smith. And at one point in your fight, Chael was like, Brett, is this Kyler kid always this good? This kid is really good. Like, is he always this good? And I was like, yeah, man. Kyler is very, very, very good, and he's been here a while, so I thought you would appreciate hearing that. Chael was very impressed.
Yeah, I stepped into my shoes. So, all right, brother.
All right. Yes. Guys. Thanks, Brett. Thanks for coming on. Right. We'll talk to you again soon.
Take care, Brett.
All right. Take care.
Thank you, Brett. And Kyler. So, hey, man, you're an interesting guy. So let me ask you, with your hobbies, I mean, shoot, man, I think we could do a whole hour on hobbies. It seems like you got a bunch of them. Is there any, like, do you watch any, like, do you stream anything? Do you watch any shows? Do you, or is it books you're reading? Tell me, turn us on to something that you're into.
I think it's about just living life, man, because there's always a new, there's a new bag or a new bottle or something that's, you know, shiny and whatever, but it's just about like learning the whole ideas behind things. And when you're living life and you're living in that ocean of energy, you can kind of lift the veil in your mind and see that there's so many more opportunity for things, you know, and that's when you're just loving life and just kind of riding, dude. I've been mountain biking lately. I just got a fully carbon mountain bike, and that's been giving me a crazy ass thrill because I'm working so hard, getting better with my cardio. And then also just hitting little jumps and stuff is so fun to get that type of adrenaline rush. That's one of the closest things I could feel to a fight, you know? So just, you know, little things like that. And then I like to study movement and sound and energy. And, you know, it's like kind of bring them all into one, you know, like where it's just a feeling. And it's just that feeling, that thing, that vision you see, that feeling that you have, that the sound that you hear and the beat of the earth moving, like you're just living your life and making the best out of it. And like all of your beliefs and convictions, you can open like and see that there's much more in your heart and in your mind with the people around you. There's just so much more to life, you know? And then we just get caught up in the same thing over and over again. And definitely you need to have that discipline, but you can use this discipline and make it stronger and better and grow out and just live a life of boldness. And I'm trying to just constantly chase after that every day, but it's not, I'm like trying to chase after it, but it's right there in front of you. You know, it's not something you try to get, but something you need to be, you know.
How do you turn your mind off? Yeah. Like if your mind is going in 50 different directions, what do you do to shut your brain off if you just want to, like, I can't think of 50 things right now. I just want to relax and focus on one thing. Is there something you can do for that?
Breaking up the bow stand. Sure, I'm fucking around.
Yeah, the tricep's pretty sick. It's like it's kind of like a nunchuck. I can do the double nunchucks too. But yeah, we do the size and stuff. I need to, and then yeah, got some. But back to what was I saying?
I was asking what you do to turn your mind off. Like if
just breathing, man. Because and not like some certain type of breathing. It doesn't have to be like a certain type of way or practice, but just being in your breath. Because when you're breathing, you're being in your body. And when you're overthinking, when you start to think, and then you're like thinking about like what's gonna happen, this or that, or this person's trip, and you're holding your breath, you're like, it's like you're drowning in life. You know what I mean? You don't want to be. You would rather be have oxygen in you and be able to surf on these waves instead of be under, you know? And so.
Yeah, shit. Take a breath, I'll tell you, Kyler, you sound like a dangerous hippie is what you sound like. You sound like, man, peace and love. And the guy goes, hey, you hippie. And then next thing you know, oh, my goodness. Kyler's on top of you. Kyler, you have your eye on the prize, but it sounds like you are enjoying the journey, my friend. And congratulations
on this victory.
Pedro Munhoz is quite the feather in your cap. That guy's a durable dude with a lot of dangerous weapons. And you had a great performance, man. So congrats on that.
Appreciate that, man. And it's so cool to talk to you guys. You seem super down to earth, dude. Yeah,
for sure, dude.
I feel like I know you. It's crazy.
Yeah, well, you're going to be on again, man. I can't believe this is the first time you're on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm sure you'll crack the top 15. I think you know that. I don't know if it matters to you, but I mean, it is. It's nice because it gets you closer to where you really want to go, obviously. So, congratulations on that. And again, this is a huge win over a pretty legendary guy. So, you got to feel great.
Yeah, I love it, man. Every second.
All right, we'll talk to you again, man. Kyler, take care. Great job. Really nice talking to you.
All right, peace, guys.
Take care, buddy. Kyler, take care.
Congrats.
Emmy award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Jimmy, that was nice. He's a nice dude. I like him, man. Very deep.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Really interesting.
The guy's got nice hair.
And Matt, we should say also congratulations to Michelle Pajeda. That incredible that rear naked in the first round over Mikala Olishaychuk. Is that how you say the name? I believe it is. I don't want to butcher his last name. It's a hard name to say. And also Robles de Spain. What an interesting knockout of Josh Parisian in the first round. Again, in the heavyweight division, it was his UFC debut.
Wow.
I don't know how many fights you're going to win. Again, arms down like that, moving backwards in the heavyweight division. I think that's a really tough sell.
Yeah, but he's that guy's got that karate back. Well, I believe he had a Taekwondo background, right?
That's yes.
In and out kind of. There's a reason why guys like Michael Venom Page. There's guys that have their hands up that are getting knocked out.
Sure.
Of course, it's one of the golden rules. Hands up, chin down. I get it. But the karate stuff's a little bit different. It's a different way of striking. It's an in and out, darting in and out, but you're darting in with vicious strikes. It's a different kind of style. Let me tell you really quick before I lose the spot here, because we had him on last week. Well, I don't believe you were here when we had Matos Gamrot on, and he fought RDA.
So what a win. Yeah, Matos Gamrot.
And I like him a lot, Gamrot. He was very enthusiastic about this fight with RDA. And, man, is he dude, that guy, we were talking about gas tanks. He's another one.
Incredible. Incredible.
Coming. He keeps coming. And that's another big one, man. I'll tell you, it would have been a night for the young guys doing well, like Kyla Phillips and Matheus Gamrot.
Matheus Gamrot, yeah.
And then, you know, next thing you know, Dustin Poirier put a shit.
I know.
All that with the young guns coming up. But it was, what a fight by Gamrot. You gotta be happy with that. And listen, man, you know what a Joanne Wood, she went out with a great fight versus Marna Moraes. And you know, it started off rough. You knew it was her last fight going in, and she came back, she landed in the last, she ended up winning the second and third round after a tough first round.
Yeah.
And she was not gonna be denied a victory in her last outing. And I'll tell you, it was, she landed a back fist from heck. I clean up my language at a weird time.
I know you do.
The whole is F's, there's B's.
Fuck this and bullshit B's. This and hey, what the heck?
I throw heck in at the end.
Yeah.
That back fist, Jimmy, I don't know if you've seen it, but
yes.
You know, it was something else. And what a nice performance, because it you know, if she would just went out there and won easily, but no, that's great, but she had a battle her last fight, so that was
fun. Yeah. I enjoyed also Philippe Lins over Kudalaba. Again, the beating up those legs. Oh, those leg kicks were nasty. Iwan took quite a few hard leg kicks. It was a great fight. He's very tough. But it's always interesting when a guy's getting kicked in the legs, and fighters just don't really show how much it hurts. But then there's always that one where just kind of sweeps the leg out, and you're like, yeah, that this guy's in bad shape. Great job by Lins beating up the legs of Kudalaba. Yes, sir.
I enjoyed it was a great night of fights, Jimmy.
It was do you know what? It's not great, though. The fact that this week they don't put the how many wins each one of us has in the
why did they? Ah, shit, I forgot that part. That's from our producer.
Yeah, I know. How convenient. I got a couple of them back.
Well, listen, I guess we're going to find that. Listen, we did that on purpose. We want everybody to tune in a couple of days.
I know.
You know?
Hope Jimmy, so. It was a good week for the kid.
This is the deal, Jimmy.
Yes, sir.
Can I tell you something now? And can I tell the world? The wife and family's going out of town. I can train with you sometime this week.
This week I'm leaving. I'm leaving.
Son of a bitch.
I fly out, man. I'm flying out.
Are you on the next episode?
I am on the next episode, yes.
Good. I'd miss you.
I miss you too, but Jimmy, I fly out Thursday.
That whole thing about me being able to go into the city and train with you, I take it all back.
Well, Wednesday night, Matt, I will be here in New York at the Fat Black Pussycat, and Austin at Rogan's Club, all shows are sold out. But then the following week, I'm going to be in Oklahoma City and Dallas and Houston, and there are tickets available for those shows. So forget Austin, but try to see me in Dallas, Houston, or Oklahoma City.
Houston where?
I think it's the House of Blues in Houston.
No, Houston where I won the title. Yeah, Jimmy!
Oh,
I'll see you soon, Jimmy.
Yes, buddy. Have a good one. Thank you, Kyler, and thanks to Brett Okamoto. Goodbye.
Bye, everyone.
Emmy award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.